Hello, loves. Welcome to Own Your Shift podcast. My name is Jessica Ann, soulful life and business coach, helping you heal, align, and expand to manifest a life beyond your wildest dreams. You just need the key to unlock the potential already within you and to say yes to the initiation into your next level of growth, alignment, and success on all levels. I hope you enjoy the shift. Right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Own Your Shift podcast. I am your host, Jessica Ann. And today I have yet another very special guest. Cindy is here. So I'm going to let her introduce herself and you guys can get to know her a little bit and then we will jam out. So thank you, Cindy. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. I want to offer to anyone in this space, this is just a place for us to be. As you know me, I get super vulnerable, super fast, and super deep, super fast. So just honoring Cindy where she's at too. So allowing us to just be and be in the flow. So
love it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. So yeah, my name is Cindy Samatanger. I guess I'll introduce myself as a transformative coach. I coach in all things life and business. I do body-based work, somatics, energy, and deep coaching. I coach leaders, entrepreneurs, creators, visionaries, who are prone to burnout. They're people who work in high stakes environments. They have big decisions that they have to make that impact people, could impact finances, and yeah, they need support, especially getting out of their head. It's not always that they know that coming to me, but they live in their heads and I help them to come back in, to trust themselves, to disconnect, to reconnect, all of that beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. And you've been a nurse for probably many years. So yeah. I'm curious if you can start from a little bit of the beginning. What did your journey look like in the beginning of whatever that may be for you?
Yeah, gosh. I remember being in nursing school, the things that really lit me up were like educating the patients and like having a healthier lifestyle. That stuff lit me up. It was the other things that I didn't find attractive. And that was hindsight though, you know, looking back. I went straight from nursing school right into the ICU. So a newbie nurse working in ICU, whoa, I'll just say whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you're brave.
Yeah. It was eye opening, right? Saw a lot, did a lot, experienced a lot, and it was stressful. It was scary. There was a lot of high stakes, right? It was high stakes environment, prone to burnout, all of that. So many stories of situations that I would find myself in. You just don't have time to think. You have to trust your intuition. Mm-hmm. And I kept seeing the same stuff over and over again. And most of it looking at people thinking like, you know, that if you made different choices in life, we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. This is a result of choices over time that you probably didn't feel like you had a choice. Most people a lot of people are in a space where they don't know that they have choice or that there's option. But I saw it right there in the ICU. And I had this deep desire to help people create a shift so that they wouldn't end up in a situation like that. So I went to school to get my education, my master's in nursing education, because I thought if I can educate them and teach them, then they'll know and I can help them change their lives. It was like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It didn't work. Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't write any of my essays or any of my papers in grad school on actually educating nurses. It was about how can I educate patients? But that didn't really exist. When I graduated, I recognized that I was working at a university at the time and I was teaching at clinicals. So the only logical step was to just teach full time. Mm-hmm. So a little back, I left ICU. I went into labor and delivery, which was more life-giving and life-affirming but also still a lot of high stakes in that environment as well. And then when teaching nurses, and then I decided that I wanted to have more impact. So I was going to go back to school again and become a nurse practitioner. And so I was in school, I was working on my women's health nurse practitioner program. And I was also battling my own stuff at the time. Mm-hmm. Infertility, I had undiagnosed endometriosis for about 9 years. Mm. I would go to doctors and they would prescribe me Vicodin. And it was just kind of a shrug of the shoulders. Like, you're just complaining. What birth control do you want? Right. Mm-hmm. I just sort of felt like a whiny baby when I would go in there. Like, you don't understand the amount of pain I'm in. I would have a period for 17 days. And they would offer me things like Clomid to try to help me get pregnant. And I just knew that there was something else going on, but it wasn't being addressed. Mm-hmm. And then I met a doctor who actually listened. She listened to my entire story. And then she asked, has anybody ever asked or did any inquiry to see if you have endometriosis? And I was like, no, but I'm pretty sure I do. Can you please? Oh my gosh, I've said this 1,000 times and no one will listen to me. So it was extensive. I had it really bad. I had a major surgery. I had a bowel resection. It was all over the inside of my body. Hmm. So yeah, I mean, lots of stuff went in there. And as I was in this was all happening while I was in my nurse practitioner program. And I remember reading this whole thing in a textbook about endometriosis and knowing that it comes from toxins. Mm-hmm. And that we're very much aware, but yet it's in the exact things that cause it are in the exact products that we prescribe to our patients. Mm-hmm. And I was like, irate, right?
Yeah.
I had just started to learn a little bit about a healthier lifestyle and clean living and taking toxic products out of my household and out of my life. And then I saw that. And then in my diagnostic books, it would say like, you can't recommend chiropractic care. And these are the things that were helping me heal. Mm. And I wasn't allowed to encourage my patients to use that stuff. So I knew it was out of alignment. Mm-hmm. I was in my nurse practitioner program. I was at clinical and I looked at my preceptor and I was like, so is this all we're going to do is ask her what birth control she wants? Like, we're not going to find out what the root cause of her problem is here. And she just looked at me with like bewilderment on her face. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing? Like, what is, and I was like, yeah, no, this isn't for me. I got to mm-hmm. go. I had 2 classes left and I walked away. Mm.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a big deal, but yeah. It wasn't in alignment. I just could not, I can't even say that I was that like aware or conscious at the time that like I could make an empowered decision like that, but I did not have it in me to yeah. forward. So, I went back to labor and delivery. I worked, teaching again. I was just kind of like bouncing around looking for the thing that was going to fulfill my soul. Mm-hmm. And then I got pregnant with my second child. So pregnancy was a whole thing. That's another story for another day, but, pregnant with my second child and I decided I didn't want to be doing the on-call thing anymore. But because in labor and delivery, there's a lot of that middle mm-hmm. of the night being on call, OR call, the burnout, hiding in the bathroom, trying to hold back my tears, wondering if I was the only nurse on the unit that felt like this was all too much mm-hmm. and that they felt overwhelmed and if they felt burnt out. And it just seemed like I was the only one. So I felt so alone in that experience. So I left and I began teaching online at a university online full time, where I was mentoring nursing students through their bachelor's programs. So they were already nurses, adults with families working full time. And I would support them from the beginning of their program all the way through the end. And I think that's where I really honed the skills of coaching. Mm-hmm. Because when they would struggle, it was never with school. It was never with the assignment, maybe very rarely a question about assignment. It was life. It was balancing all mm-hmm. of that. And yeah, that's really where I picked up those skills. And it was during that time that I was extremely burnt out. I had another child and then I got pregnant again. In the fourth pregnancy, I lost that baby at 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the story goes like, I was sitting on a call with a student who was really unhappy and she was taking it out on me. She was yelling at me. She was really being rude. And I was at the end of my rope with it all. I didn't feel well. I had a doctor's appointment. I needed to get off the phone. I had to leave my house. She was still yelling at me. I get off the call. I leave. I go to the doctor's appointment and I get there and there's no baby. There's no heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And I never went back to work after that. I took medical leave. I had been planning to not go back after the baby. I had hired my first life coach during that time. And I was like, this is amazing. It was everything. It was like, I learned so much about myself. I was really into it. And I Googled, how do you become a life coach? And Google knows I'm a nurse, of course, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when the Nurse Coach Collective popped up. And I would sit and just stare at that. I would stare at the website like, is this for real? Is this real? And I had applied. And it was like Collective 7, I think, I was going to start. And then the pregnancy and the loss and everything. So I delayed my start. And that's the story of how I ended up as a coach. I never went back to work. I joined I just got a little part-time job and joined the collective. And then when I was in the collective, I started working with a coach during that time. And I had 9 paid clients while I was in the collective. Mm-hmm. I just knew it was like, this is everything I wanted to do. This is what I thought a nurse was. And here I am. I've arrived, right? It felt so good. So that's how I got here.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing. And I love that you were in women's wellness for, you know, a large part of your practice, you know, being a nurse. I'm curious, what shifted, and we don't have to go here if you don't want to, but I am super curious on, because I know you struggled with endometriosis and, you know, infertility, and I know there's so many women that do. What did you change and shift to be able to become pregnant? So it sounds like so easily with the second and third, and even though you lost that baby in the fourth, but what, yeah.
So I had the surgery and it was a different type of surgery. So the doctor I worked with, they did this NAPRO technology, and there's only a few doctors in the nation who actually practice this way. So I was very fortunate that she was close to my small town. But then she had a baby, so I had to go to a different doctor that was in Columbus, Ohio, and he's the one that actually did the full surgery. But their process reduces the amount of scarring and the return of the endometriosis. So like I only had a 5% chance of it actually returning, where most women who have the surgery, it comes back and over and over and over again.
Right.
And then I was told after the surgery, like the first thing I said was like, okay, now can I get pregnant? Because it was really like my heart's desire to be a mom. And the doctor was like, look, you have about a 40% chance of getting pregnant. And if you do not ever get pregnant, or if you do not get pregnant within the next 6 months, you're not going to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So it was about the 6 month mark. And my doctor prescribed some HCG shots and some different things for me to do. And I paid a freaking ton of money for it because it came from a different type of pharmacy. And I kind of started spotting. I was like spotting and I called and I was like, do I take it when I'm spotting or do I take it with a period? And she was like, you make sure you're on like a full period, like a full bleed. So I just kept waiting. And then it's this whole experience. It's really supernatural. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good place to share it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So I was driving to my best friend's house. Yeah, she lived in Indianapolis at the time. And it was, we were going for New Year's Eve. So I was driving and my husband was asleep in the car. It was late at night. So I left late. And I think it was probably like, I don't know, midnight-ish. And all of a sudden I felt this presence, like the most tender. And it's something I can never put words to, the way that this felt. It washed over me. And I turned the radio down and I just sat there in complete awe. And I was just like, please don't ever go away. Like, don't, whatever. This is, wow. I don't know what this is, but wow. I just sat with it until it just you know, as quickly as it came, it left.
Mm-hmm.
And that next morning, we got there late. We're getting up, we're getting ready to go on this tour of, it's where you do all like the whiskey tours
mm-hmm.
through like Kentucky. And yeah, so that was our plan for the new year. So we get up in the morning and I'm sitting on the couch and I was like, oh, so hot, like pulling off my coat. And I was like, I gotta get some breakfast and like, we gotta get going here. And I thought it was just cause I was tired and hungry and didn't sleep well and stayed up late. And I slept through the whole drive, did a couple of shots of whiskey and slept some more. And then we get home late at night and my friend and I are supposed to cook this like elaborate meal for New Year's Eve together. And I slept through the whole entire meal, slept through all of it. She cooked all of it by herself. And it was about a week later, I was back at home and I was sitting on my couch and I felt something say to me, I have a surprise for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I had the spotting. I haven't done the HCG shots. Am I pregnant? No, dead silence, like no answer. So I took a pregnancy test and it was positive.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my Luke. That was my firstborn. So he is quite the miracle baby.
Ah, it sounds like it. How amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I loved the inner part of you, the inner voice of God, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that is to you, but that you're able to listen.
It was powerful. It's like,
yeah,
in me, out of me, not from me, but some, mm-hmm. yeah, it's this really powerful,
mm-hmm.
really powerful experience. That I'll never forget. And I tell my son that story all the time. It's like, mm-hmm. you have pure, like your life is so important. You know, and I told him the other day, I was like, maybe that presence was God and maybe it was you. Maybe mm-hmm. that was your spirit, like combining with my spirit at the time. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Right.
But, so beautiful. I love it. Okay. I'm glad I asked that question. I can dive a little bit deeper there, but that is such a beautiful story that, yeah, I've known you for a while and seen you post things, but I've never heard that part of your journey. So yeah, I'm honored to hear it and to actually get to experience it with you. That's beautiful. Awesome. Okay. Oh, where do we go from here? Because that was super powerful. Where do you want to go from here? I guess I am a little bit more, you know, curious on, you know, what led you to, and I hear you, you know, being a nurse with burnout and all of the things there too, and just all of the challenges that you had to overcome. What does it look like now? What does your practice in you serving other humans, how did that really evolve for you?
Yeah, man, it was like being on a roller coaster, and it was kind of like my angel said, finally, she decided to get on, let's go, right? Like, whoosh, and I was just riding. It was just a ride.
Mm-hmm.
I was on it, and it felt like exhilaration and scary, but fun and exciting all at the same time, right? It has evolved so much. I started out by coaching women in transition,
mm-hmm.
women who were experiencing a lot of anxiety. A lot of them were moms who were trying to balance life and work. And, some of them were homeschool moms who were trying to balance the realm of having multiple kids. And yeah, I just had a variety of different clients in that way. Some of them were leaving jobs that they hated, and moving into a different position or leaving the job behind altogether,
mm-hmm.
and stepping into a different calling. So that's where I started. And I had a lot of success in that pretty quickly. And then I had a lot of nurse coaches reaching out. I had a lot of referrals sent to me because I was doing it and I was experiencing success. And so a lot of sharing how I've done it and I can support you through it. And that actually ended up taking, almost, I'm going to say it like this, but I don't know if that's how I mean it, but it felt like it took over,
mm-hmm.
More of what I was doing and less of the other like transitional stuff. There's still transition there.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I became a coach for nurse coaches and I've done that for 3 years now. And I've supported many, many, many nurse coaches in their journey, which has been really fun and joyful. And right now I'm in transition again. I'm in a new space where I am stepping into doing less of that and moving back into the realm of coaching leaders and visionaries and women in transition, people who are in these big roles and need to get out of their bodies. So it's kind of this new thing where I'm going like, again, oh my God. So
beautiful. You're a mirror for me right now.
Love it.
Cause it's like the same, I did the same kind of wave that you did for sure of the transitioning back and forth. And now I'm going deeper into a different realm and a different transition. But I think that's just the ever evolving roller coaster that we do get to be on. However, we get to, and I'm sure you can totally relate with this being an energy practitioner and somatic practitioner as well, of the waves get less as we kind of transition and really move toward our purpose. Because we have so much that we've mastered kind of within that up and down journey and these different, I always say I can coach anyone, and I'm sure you can relate. We can coach anyone on anything, absolutely anything. But really honing in on what our passion is and what lies there too. So it sounds like, it's so funny that you literally are mirroring me right now, because I started the same, like women's wellness, the transition. And I love to work with coaches and healers of all different types, but it's actually more than that. It's getting back to the core of who they are.
And yes, that's exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I do, is like, that's what I care about. Yeah. So if someone asks me what I want to know about people, it's who are you at your core?
Yeah.
Right. Like, who are you? And let's create your life from that place instead of from all of this outside, the voices that are telling you what you should do or who you should be. Let's come back into you. And that's the place that we create life from. So that's everything to me. If I do that, then check mark. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I got chills when you even said that. So, cause your energy even changes tremendously when you start talking about that too. Oh, so yeah, that's so beautiful. How have you came back home to yourself?
Oh man. Powerful question. Oh, what a journey that's been, right? So I have so many stories, Jessica. So many stories.
Maybe the biggest one that's had the biggest impact.
Okay. Yeah, I actually was just telling my son this last night, because I noticed him being in a space of high anxiety. And so I shared my high anxiety story with him and how I came out of that. And that has been the biggest thing for me, was recognizing that I was anxious and I didn't know it. I just thought that was how we lived life. That was what I had seen from every woman that I knew. And that's just what we do. And it was a story of almost getting robbed. So there was a man who came down. I live in the country down Long Lane, and he came down here and he was trying to rob me, basically. But I was working from home and I was at home when it happened. I had a 6-year-old, no, 6-month-old and a 3-year-old at the time. And he pulled up in my driveway. He talked a bunch of nonsense. I called the sheriff. He had robbed 5 of my neighbors. And my anxiety went from like high to unbearable. And I kept imagining that I'd be standing at my kitchen sink, living out the experience of someone coming in and tying me up, raping me, taking my children and trying to murder me. It was all, I would like have the visceral experience. I would experience being at the graveside of my children. I would like totally by the time my son was 5, he couldn't leave my side. And so I was like, I went to someone who does Reiki and intuitive massage, and she does deeply wisdom. She's a midwife. I went to her and I was like, there's something wrong with my son. Like, he is not okay. He won't leave my side. Like, I need to know what to do to help him. And she starts asking me questions about me. And all of it came out, this whole story of me having this anxiety and thinking of the worst possible scenario. And she said to me, do you ever think about anything good happening to you? And I was like, no, like, why would I? Nothing good happens to me, which is total bullshit. Right. Right. Total bullshit. Because obviously I've just told you stories about really beautiful things that have happened to me. But that was the way that I viewed the world, through the skewed lens of like waiting for the other shoe to drop and tragic. Everything's tragic. And when she asked me that question, it suddenly, like, my awareness opened up entirely. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I'm the one with the problem. It's me.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Mm-hmm. Right. So I just became really determined. I did this completely on my own. I had been through therapy. I've been through lots of therapy in my life, but this part, I would stand at the kitchen sink, and when the thoughts would come in, I would pretend I had an actual net. I would catch those thoughts and I would throw them. And I would say, I'm choosing to think something different today.
Yeah.
And then I got to know who I really was. So it was this whole journey of moving through a lot of that, getting to know myself, learning about how to connect to my body through things like yoga and meditation, and learning about somatic work, recognizing what I'm feeling in my body and allowing it instead of suppressing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, there's a lot in there, but yeah, that's the gist of the story.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Beautiful. And that's really profound too, of just having the choice. And you've said this a couple of times throughout our interview here. It's when people realize that they have the choice of what that looks like. It's a reclaiming. Reclaiming power, but reclaiming your energy is like how I better like to frame that. Yeah, it's a better word. It's not so, I love to say reclaiming power, but I've had a couple clients where like, oh, that makes me icky because the masculine part. And I'm like, okay, reclaiming energy. Let's just go with reclaiming energy. But it really is. It's you taking back control of that power and not giving it to an external source. And yeah, that's a beautiful way to even start that with the mindset of that. That was my journey too. It did. It began in the mind and then slowly integrated into the body.
Yeah.
So I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One question can change your whole life.
It really, seriously, just one little question, and man, what a big and powerful insight. I almost see it like light pouring down into me and it allowing me to open up and whoa, new perspective, powerful moment.
Yeah, very powerful. All right. I'm curious about your dreams and your desires. What is Cindy? What is Cindy you? What does she look like in a year?
Oh yeah. Me in a year is centered and calm. My capacity has, my depth and capacity has grown even more so, where I can hold the both and of all of it, good, the bad, the joy. I have more joy because the work I do for me and myself, and what I try to give to my clients, or what I achieve, like, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's what I intend to give to my clients is the ability to be able to feel joy on a deep level, because I think it's the hardest emotion for us to experience. And it's the work isn't to be able to like hold anger or hold frustration. It's of course to be able to feel those things with the intention of being able to actually experience joy. So the year from me now has more joy and more capacity to hold that. I am at ease in my body. I'm comfortable. I am really finding even more balance in my work life schedule. I say no to things that do not light me up. And I do more in-person work as well. Yeah, because I have a desire for that.
Yeah, there's such a different dynamic in person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can relate. I love the in-person environment too. Yeah, how beautiful. If you could give, you know, and I know as coaches, we don't give advice, but here on this podcast, we give advice for people that are that are listening. If you could give advice to anyone listening on how to activate more joy, what is one tool that would help them?
One, just one. Okay. I come back to, you cannot suppress the uncomfortable emotions. You just can't. They're your ticket to joy.
Yeah.
We think if we suppress them and not feel them, that will make us feel better, but it's true. The truth is that we have to allow ourselves to feel the anger, the rage, the sadness, the depression, anxiety, and we have to give it space. And when we give it space and we allow it to transmute, and I think getting rid of things is bullshit. You can't get rid of it. You can reclaim your energy. You can like give back what's not yours. Mm-hmm. But if it's your anger, we transmute it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't put anger out into the world. We transmute it inside of ourselves and we give back love and light and joy. And that's how we do it. We don't do it by suppressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. And I think that's really important, especially I have more of the spiritual audience that listens to this podcast. So, and I think I'm curious, one last thing, because I think it's important here, especially I love what you said about not suppressing, because I think a lot of times people will bypass it. I call it spiritual bypassing. They'll bypass the emotion and just ignore it. And it really, it's that bridge for you. It's that gap. Yeah. To actually feel the emotions you get to the joy. So I think that was so important to say, just because I feel like I can relate very deeply, because 8 years ago when I had my first like really big spiritual awakening, I was bypassing a lot. However, it did serve me because I just, you know me, I had nothing to do with emotions for a very long period of time. So it would have been too much for me, but if I would have known that even back then and like just been taught that instead of these spiritual guiders just saying, oh, just think of love and light, like X, Y, Z, let's focus on the good, which there's truth there. Yeah. But there's also truth there of honoring that anger, honoring that bad, we label them bad emotion. There's no bad emotion, but even if I would have started that a little bit more sooner on my journey, that would have been so beneficial to hear. And maybe I did hear it, but I just didn't have the capacity to hear it. I don't know.
Yeah. Or we just don't understand what that means. Like, what do you mean?
Feel something like that. Does all that mean? Yeah. Yeah. Cause I had so much coming at me, but yeah, I loved that though. Cause I think that people can just honor that part of themselves. And when we don't try to shove it away, like you said, then it actually becomes that bridge to activate joy faster. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
A lot of times I'm given advice too, in a way that's like basically you should overcome that emotion and like reject it.
Yeah.
But it's not how it works.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Yeah. That's how it works. Feel it. Burn.
Yeah. Yeah, the uncomfortableness, but yeah. Okay, beautiful. Is there anything else that you want to share?
Let me just check in and see. There's nothing that's coming up. I feel like it was really fun to share my story and also get to share that little spiritual side of it. Like sometimes I've shared that and people are like, yeah, if it's not the right audience, they're like, what? So yeah. Thank you for the space to.
Yes. It is always welcome here. Always. Yeah. Always the spiritual realm is welcome here. So I appreciate you though, being open and vulnerable. And I know that this will land for so many people. And yeah, if you guys are wanting to activate joy and are having a hard time coming back to the core of who you are, then Cindy is here. And I will make sure to drop her links and all of the beautiful things below. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you for coming on and sharing.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was fun to be here.
It was. Okay, guys, thank you for listening. And we will catch you next week on the next episode and talk to you guys soon.